You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Right.
What's going on, y'all? This is your man Chris, one half of the Brother Layman. Thank you for checking out another episode of the Black Is Break, brought to you by the Black Is Network. If you can't hear the bird is outside just flying around, it's just been like that.
That's just how it is.
Yeah, this episode is continuing our discussion of the Black Lives Matter movement. I hope you guys like part one. You know, it was getting a little heated. Getting a little quiet, didn't think it would go that deep, and then Brother Darius comes on, and I'm like, okay, this is different.
Yeah, y'all. This episode was definitely one that got heated, and I'm not even going to front, was challenging to moderate, because I got so caught up in the conversations that were happening. Like, it got real. So, what do you think, Chris? If my memory is clear, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, we're going different aspects, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Let us know what you think. Hit us up. And the bird is crazy over here.
The bird is way close.
Email kc@blackisonline.com. Twitter @blackisonline. Facebook Black Is Magazine. Voicemail 323-455-4219. Let's get into it. Thanks for listening.
Existed to me.
Exactly.
Has
so why
always,
are we trying to
not
expand,
just existed,
why
but
are we trying to
me?
Expand their platform?
Because
I'm not
we
saying
are
I know
worth it.
It.
You are worth it.
That's I mean, I do.
Is worth
listen,
it.
I do think I hear
that's
what
why we expanded.
I do think I hear what Shelby's point is, and I think the point is that it's not that Black lives don't matter in the sense that I. First of all, I agree with everything everyone is saying. But I think... So don't come for me. Brother Malcolm will come for you.
Right.
So
this gumbo conversation. Or bouillabaisse, as Ishmael Reed likes to say. See, I know Ishmael and the hood. Because Black lives matter.
But I think the point I'm hearing her, I'm hearing you say is that... The point I'm hearing being said through here is that the Black Lives Matter movement came out of a response to the senseless killing and injustice killing of black bodies, which I love, Ta-Nehisi Coates. Thank you, Tash. Oh, my God, that book.
What book?
Thank you. Between the World and Me.
Woo. Oh.
My brother Tash brought it for me for Christmas. I was so grateful. But
that's the other Chris.
Okay, but I think what's interesting what you're saying, because I'm just listening to both sides, is that the Black Lives Matter movement did start out of a specific response to something.
Yeah.
And the thing about black bodies being killed by black bodies, that's been something that's been ongoing as well. And my thing is, and what I'm hearing you say is, and I think she's right, that we have so many systemic challenges in the black community that to... What it's like is like what I'm looking at it is, it's like, this is working. People are really interested. It's like getting a lot of limelight right now. Mm-hmm. So let's all jump on this and see if we can, you know. And it's like, if there's an issue with black on black crime, maybe then maybe there's a new hashtag that's like, your brother matters, or black stop black on black, whatever. I'm not trying to create it right now. But the point is. The point is that this Black Lives Matter hashtag is in response to something very specific that might not be in response to the Chicago, the LA, the gang banging, because that's a whole nother realm of challenges within the black community. And my thing is, okay, that's fine. You can say that, but I'm saying. What I'm telling you is the people who came up with this hashtag, I don't think that they're dumb. That's not their charge. And I think we have to honestly, as a community, understand what she just said about putting too much pressure on stuff and it cracking.
Because at the end of the day, like Occupy Wall Street.
Exactly. And that's what happened with Occupy Wall Street. Everybody was like, yeah, they've been screwing us. And everybody had all these expectations for Occupy Wall Street. One, a gang of y'all, none of y'all went and sat out there with them. None of y'all was down about that life. No, I'm just saying. We get real quick to go.
What Malcolm is saying is on point, because when we start looking at Black Lives Matter, this is a movement that was started by the millennials. Our generation, for what it's worth, is slacking. Because we are
nothing.
Because we have benefited being the children of the generation that came through the civil rights movement. But these kids that are killing each other are the generation beneath us. So it's technically our responsibility to pull up our bootstraps and go and get in these kids' faces without fear.
What do we do during our generation? Like,
we fear like, them.
But my thing is, what do we do when we were their age, when we were in our 20s, right? Because basically, a lot of these millennials
against something else.
No, but we weren't about it like this.
No, they are about it.
Yeah, I have seen some of these people. I follow a lot of them, and the things that they do. I'm talking about these people go to state to state to state. I'm watching people like forget about their jobs, about being and when you look at research about millennials versus X generation, millennials do have that tendency to be like, you know what?
They take risks.
They're going to take a little bit more risks.
Let's not forget about the resources they have.
Someone explain millennials.
I mean, anytime you type a few words in a phone and it. In the possibility that
don't,
it may
don't
reach
negate
a million people.
And deny that power.
So I'm not negating it. I'm saying that we didn't have it, is what I'm
but
saying.
But what did we have? What did we have? We had our voice through our music. We had our voice through our music. Yeah. The most powerful time in hip hop.
But everybody is not
when we were in our
20s. Inclined.
It doesn't matter. That
can
was
we
a,
define?
We had a power in our music. And what did we do with that power? We allowed that music to go left. Because when we were talking about something conscious, we didn't really do anything with that. It was cool to wear an X hat, but were you really believing in the values of Malcolm X? And were you living that life of that Malcolm X? But see, it was a fashion statement, and it was a fad for us. So at least they're doing something and moving.
But that's how we roll, Malcolm. We're faddish people.
That's fine.
You
but
open
I'm saying,
a restaurant, it'll be closed.
I'm just responding to the point that Kimmy just made right now. That's all.
One thing that I can say about our generation is that we are very trendy and fickle. So if it's hot right now, that's what we tend to follow. So when things were conscious and everybody was wearing cross colors and leather medallions, then that's what the new and onks, then that's what we were doing.
But we got down in LA.
And then when the South came out with
Rodney King, we were aware.
Back that ass up, we were the same people that went to the club and did that and didn't think anything about like, well, what is this doing to our community and our minds?
Yeah.
And we allowed ourselves to go through that whole absolute vortex.
That's my
because my thing is, I don't believe that these millennials, I believe that these people are kind of in it. They're like, we got to stay in this as long as it's going to take. I really believe that. I really get a sense that these young people.
So I can't like X Clan and Compton's most
all black. Have you ever gone to a Black Lives Matter rally?
Yes, I have.
A quarter of the people are Latino, Asian, whites, and they're not all black. So to look at that organization, that movement to deal with like the black on black crime or the, you know, stuff, is like they not. That organization, not all of them are really a part of the community, but they believe in justice for black people.
And many people believe that some of this injustice against black people against, with white oppression has literally infiltrated the psyche and literally the sickness of the black community.
Maybe the intensity portion of my statement is what people heard, because I did preface it by saying I'm not trying to delegitimize the movement, and I also said that we don't need one particular body to represent us, that we need multiple parties. I made the analogy
And that's why he said, where are we then? So who is the people who wants to create that?
About Black Lives Matter?
Yeah, there's no need to...
The question as it was posed is, do we think that they should first endorse a candidate, and whether or not we're going to look at them or look toward them to be the next leader of the black person.
Basically, if they endorse somebody, are we getting behind it?
That's an individual decision.
We need decisions to be collective in order for there to be an impact.
The reason why I'm asking is because black people always say we're not monolithic. And we talk about the diversity of black people.
But that's part of our problem. We make so many decisions based off of individual choices and preference, completely negating the collective. But yet we want everybody in the community to be able to come up. We want all of us to be able to benefit, but we're not willing to make decisions that impact the group.
As the community right now, do you think our community is so unified that we could have one body speak for us on regards to a candidate?
I don't think any community is that unified.
No.
Look at white people and the presidential candidates. I mean, let's be real. They got five different Republicans that they like. And then you got the two Democrats that they like.
Right now, it's those
you're just talking about the ones.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like they're all over the place.
Yeah.
I think we have to be careful, particularly in this new millennium, that we're black people. I think we have to let go of the fact that we are not
a collective.
We're not the civil rights generation. And we got to let go. Like, it's okay. That was a moment, and it was a powerful moment. But this is a new moment, and it's a moment with people where there are some black people that they don't even. There's some black kids that they don't believe in God. They don't believe in the black church. And so, like, I'm not going to like negate them because that their voice doesn't matter. We come from a history where the black church historically in this country was a place where we could gather and we could all come around. But now that could be a division between us. So now we have to respond with, you know, maybe there is the black folks church group. There is the millennial black folks. There's the progressive black folks.
I mean,
so that existed during the civil rights.
But we don't know, not as many factions. We are literally different factions. During the civil rights movement, your kids most likely had the same political mindset as your parents, and you went to those rallies together. It was a familial, communal event. Now, I can have this conversation with my grandparents, and I don't think we could be on the same page about certain things regarding black people. There might be elders who might be more along the conservative page of black people need to stop killing black people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Black Lives Matter might be like,
and please understand, I don't think one is more important than the other. I said we can't be as powerful if we don't recognize the other one. And what gets me is that when people bring up we've got to address this issue in our community, everyone jumps on them like, no, we can't. This is about this. We can't. If I had a 16-year-old son today, I want him to be able to walk freely. And so I would stand.
You better not live in LA.
Right?
You better go rural.
It's the truth.
Because.
You might want to take him to another
place. The chances are I'm going to lose him to either the police or to somebody in the neighborhood that looks like him.
Right.
And that's unacceptable. And if Black Lives Matter does not.
We talk about that constantly, having a seven-year-old child. Yeah. When Chris and I were both seven, the opportunity to go out and play with your friends in the neighborhood was not a problem.
Yes.
My mother lives six blocks away. I wouldn't think to let my son ride his bike six blocks to visit his grandmother. Now, how crazy is that?
Right.
How crazy is that?
Exactly.
Within a contained community, too.
But still, the opportunity for something to happen to him.
Also, quick, so if you...
if you heal, say for instance, you do heal all the idea of that with the law, kind of the violence, the law, the violence that the law causes against black people. Right. Say we heal that, and then when we still have this problem of black people killing black people, what are we saying then?
That's not. This
but it is the same thing.
No, it's not. But it That's is. What I'm saying is that the initial question was simply about Black Lives Matter. And my only point was that even though the stuff has to get done, I'm not saying that this, I'm not saying any of this isn't true or real
so
or
you're
valid.
Saying if we,
I'm saying that's not the platform of Black Lives Matter. And that it doesn't need to
but
be
adjusted. But it should be. It should be incorporated.
It should, it
Why are you
it
incorporating
should,
it to something that was not originally? Listen, I'm on both sides. But Steve, I do have to ask you.
Okay, but when that's not the original,
because you, if I say, if I tell you
that if the original intent of something is this, even if it seems like it could be connected to this. It's unfair to try and say, well, why don't you put this?
I won't put it on them, but I will say this.
That's what you think.
Listen, no.
That's not what the people who created it.
Someone say that her own child, she can't even allow a child to go six blocks away.
Exactly.
But this is the thing. We can, for me, and maybe I'm just like hardcore.
Like for me as well.
Yeah, maybe I'm just hardcore.
Yeah, no, I thought hardcore.
Hardcore? We will go.
I'm not gonna just go after one.
We're gonna go after all. So for me, the Black Lives Movement should have wakened us all up to everything else.
Okay, because so don't blame the Black Lives Movement.
I'm not blaming them.
No,
I feel like
on this side there is definitely like.
Them.
But my
to
thing
me,
is,
it got me riled up like hell yeah.
But my thing is to create a whole other movement
that is parallel to Black Lives Matter that has nothing to do.
It doesn't need to be parallel.
It should have, but no, yes, it does need to be Black Lives Matter.
It doesn't have to be parallel.
It doesn't have to be parallel. It doesn't have to be parallel.
You're asking it to be something that it's not.
It doesn't have to be parallel.
Steve, why should it be two different
Black Lives Matter was created in response to injustices to black people.
But sometimes, but guess what? It birthed something else. It birthed something in you
and a lot of other people. And so that means
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like,
that means you agree with me.
Hold on.
Because it's the.
And you agree with me.
Hold on. This is turning to a.
It's turning off really calm.
It's completely cacophonous. I know.
I'm going to lose in this house.
It sounds like, and I'm going to go back to the point I made earlier. Our generation, and I'm talking to me, we need to get off
our ass.
We can't look to the generation underneath us.
Or before us.
To lead us.
Exactly.
And the generation before us, they're not going to do what the two old.
They did
what they're going to do.
So what could we go into a conversation then with the brilliant minds in this room? Then what do we do?
I'm gonna be very real. We need to, and y'all might be controversial. I think we all need to take up arms.
Take up arms.
Because I'm not against what cousin is saying.
It is your Fourth Amendment right to
I'm
do
not,
so.
I'm not against what cousin is saying.
I'm not against arms second. Either.
I'm not against what cousin is saying.
Guns?
Yes.
What?
Because.
Oh, the two Brits are like.
Bring it! I love it. International. Yeah, we need this perspective. Because I'm not a fan of the guns either.
How long are you guys here?
Because that was so funny. Because
we're a couple months.
Yes, here, welcome to America.
If you don't know the gun, if you don't know the gun in America, like in the
last. Here's because okay, from our perspective, coming from LA has a very heavy gang culture. This is not a situation where you can just take young men to the side and have a conversation. They're not thinking like that.
What about if you take away guns?
function. Yeah, well, that would be a now. Actually, that would be a better.
I read that a lot of times.
Now, Steve, I'm gonna read you on this.
That would be.
How you can deal with a situation without using guns.
That would actually.
That's what we teach our children. We teach our children that they need to have conflict resolution without fighting, without physical. But then, when it comes to adults, we want to use physical.
We don't want to just use physical.
So you teach physical force.
I'm gonna be honest. Hold on.
I'm intrigued because we don't have guns in our country. We don't. That's not us. That's not our culture.
Here's the thing.
We're British. I would understand
what you propose.
That won't mean I'm black. I just wanted to put my hands up. I'm black.
What I want to say. No.
Technically, you are the problem.
What I want to say is, what you propose is best case scenario.
It's a takeaway.
That would be ideal. I don't have.
Can we not hope for ideal?
All the way on the other side of the pendulum.
Can we not hope for ideal?
It's not that I don't hope for.
Because if everyone takes arms, you're causing a war.
You said no. Yeah,
everyone has.
You
arms,
said no. Why?
But I feel like we're already in one.
Well, no, but then take it away.
You have to have a constitution, though.
Change the constitution.
Because
there's too many people who don't want to give that right up. They don't want to give up the right because they protect themselves against the government. Yeah, that whole thing that happened, that they don't. The people who have the guns don't want to change the law because they don't trust the government is not. They don't believe. They don't trust the government enough. They feel like we give up our guns, the government is going to attack us.
And now we have no way to protect ourselves. And I don't have...
That's the wrong way of thinking.
I agree with you, but living in this country, I don't have faith that the ability to eradicate... Hold on, you guys.
No, I understand.
From a listener's perspective, this is impossible.
You have too many separate conversations.
If you're American and you don't have a gun, it's like being the last one on the Ponzi scheme. I understand that. Do you see what I mean? You're like the last man on the pyramid scheme.
It just seems impossible.
Violence breeds violence.
It does.
If you carry a gun,
if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword.
If you have a gun, and I have a gun.
You're willing to shoot someone, so you're willing to be shot. So basically, you have to kind of look at it. What do you want to do?
And it's perpetuating the very behavior that we're saying that we don't want to happen in our community. We're talking about black kids, not shooting black kids. You don't want to arm yourself.
When you at the same time.
No,
Black lives matter.
No, the problem is,
what is the purpose of having it then? What's the purpose of having it?
No, the issue with the guns is it's not about black people. President Obama has already come out and said we need to change shit, and you have enough people in power who are like,
we don't want that to change.
I want to hear why having a gun would be part of the solution.
Because I don't trust that the motherfucker is not going to. Listen to this. All these other countries.
Yes.
We're telling all these other countries, we don't want you to have.
Look, he
want to
leave my house.
Here's the thing.
No. Do you have children?
Think of it like the U.S. The U.S. tells everybody we don't need to have nuclear arms.
That'll make all the difference. Do all the other countries ask America what about your nuclear shit? If somebody's holding a gun to my child and I have a gun, that person won't live. My child will. And that's just all it comes down to. And even if that means I lose my life and my child continues to live, that's how it will happen.
But you hear the scenario
that we just outlined from the young man that died on 54th and 9th Ave. That was just one situation, one day.
And this happens every day.
It happens every day.
No, but listen.
And we're dealing. We're dealing.
That is because the amount of guns you have here.
Yeah.
There's too many.
I don't have faith. I get what you're saying. I don't have faith that we live in a country that would truly eradicate and disarm all of the guns. I don't believe that we'll ever get to the point where we'll have this sort of policy where guns are outlawed. So it's like either you arm yourself or you find yourself in a position where you are unarmed and you're dealing with all these knuckleheads who are completely armed and attacking the kids.
I think that's just a fear-based society.
Yeah, I was just about to say fear is very, very powerful and is dictating our country right now. And I will say this, and I want to preface this because I don't want people to feel like because I don't have children that I wouldn't have that same thought. Because I'm about to inherit some, and I do. For me, anybody in my circle, including my parents, including you guys, I love you, and you're important to me. But one of the things that is concerning to me, and I'm just going to speak just as a Christian man, like I really believe you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. I also believe that every man has an appointed time, whether you're an infant or a geriatric. Like either you're going to be here for 20 years, 2 minutes. Or you're going to be here for 90 years. So I believe that whenever God is ready to take any of us, that's when your time goes. Now, the fear moment, that to me is what is like literally sucking this country dry of its soul. It's because everything that is about everything that you fear, like I fear people, I fear food, I fear this, I fear that. And it's a way of literally controlling us so that we literally base all of our decisions, everything that we would do. Normally not even probably think that way based off of I don't either want to lose this, I don't want to look like this, I don't want to. And so my concern is, how do we move out of fear-based decisions, one, as a community? Because this country, that's where we're at right now, and we shouldn't be surprised at all that a Donald Trump even exists right now in the presidential race, because he absolutely caters to what this country breathes on. Like I personally don't watch local news anymore. I'll read the paper, but I'm not trying to be fed through imagery and through a media system that already is built on let us continue to feed fear into a community.
Man, told y'all I was gonna get a little heated. It's a good conversation. Can't wait to part 3 next week. Make sure you guys subscribe to the show. iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud. Check us out at the website, blackisonline.com. Let us know your thoughts on what we discussed. Email us at kc@blackisonline.com. Voicemail 323-455-4219. Twitter @blackisonline. Facebook, Black Is Magazine. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks again for listening.